السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته شيخنا، أحسن الله إليك.
أمي وإياكم أبا أبا
عامر.
عامر حوي.
الحمد لله.
هايس هوم.
الحمد لله. الحمد لله.
حوي قال إذا وكان.
نعم شيخ.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد، yesterday we had discussed from our book Al-Adab Al-Mufrad from the chapter Babu Rahmat Al-Iyal. And then we came to Babu Rahmat Al-Bahaim. We discussed showing mercy to our dependents, our wives, our children, and others from those from family or from non-relatives who live under our roof. The Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam, Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu said, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أرحم الناس بالعيال. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم is the most merciful of the people to his family. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم is the most merciful of the people to his home. So this is encouragement for us all to be merciful to our wives, towards our children, and the rest of our dependents. And he gave an example of how compassionate the Prophet was and kind, alayhi salatu wasalam, that he had a son, Ibrahim, who was with a mustarda'un fi nahiyat al-Madina. Ibrahim was left with a woman who was breastfeeding him under fosterage with a woman from the outskirts of Medina. We mentioned that in the report by Al-Imam Muslim in his Sahih, it mentioned the name of that woman to be Ummu Saif. The woman was popularly called Ummu Saif, and her husband was Ummu Yusuf. So Ummu Saif was the one who had Ibrahim, the son of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, from Maria al-Qibtiya. She was the one taking care of him, providing him breast milk. And her husband was Ummu Yusuf radiyallahu anhum. But the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, from his kindness to the members of his home, was that he would visit this boy. He would visit the home where he was having breast milk. He will visit that boy, he will hug the boy, he will kiss the boy, he will have his nose round the boy, showing compassion and kindness. And Anas had reported it as something the Prophet would do regularly, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is from the aspects of being kind to the members of our home. The hadith that followed it was the hadith of a man who had a boy, a little young boy, Sabiyun, and Faja'ala Yadumuhu Ilayh. The man began to hug the boy that he was carrying. He was his son. And then the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam asked if what he was doing was out of compassion for that boy. When he answered in the affirmative, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahu arhamu bika minka bihi. The mercy of Allah upon you, Allah's kindness towards you, is far, far, absolutely bigger than your mercy towards this boy. Wa huwa arhamur rahimin. And Allah is the most absolutely merciful from those who show kindness and mercy to others. The point of reference here was that that man was hugging his son, carrying him, playing with him, having him with him. This is from the aspects of showing mercy to children, especially our own children and others who live under our roof. After that, we came today to discuss about Rahmatul Baha'im, showing mercy and kindness towards animals. We read the Hadith 378, where a man who was Yamshi Bitariqin, he was walking on a road, on a street, Ashtadda bihi al-Atash, and he had bothering him. So the man wajada bi'ran fanazala fiha. The man found a well, fanazala fiha, and went down that well. He took a drink. He had a nice drink of water. Thumma kharaja, and came out of the well. فَإِذَا كَلْبٌ يَلْهَثْ يَأْكُلُ الثَّرَى مِنَ الْعَطَشِ. He found a dog who was panting. It was panting out of severe thirst and licking the dust because it was very thirsty. This man now said to himself, لَقَدْ بَلَغَ هَذَا الْكَلْبَ مِنَ الْعَطَشِ مِثْلُ الَّذِي كَانَ بَلَغَنِي. This dog has been affected by the same kind of thirst that had affected me, making me go into that well. فَنَزَلَ الْبِئْرَ. This man went back into the well. He filled his hoof. The hoof is the leather socks. He filled the hoof with water. ثُمَّ أَمْسَكَهَا بِفِيهِ. And then he held the leather socks he had filled with water. He held it on his mouth so that he could climb out of the well. فَسَقَ الْكَلْبِ. And then he came out and provided water for that dog. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَشَكَّرَ اللَّهُ لَهُ فَغَفَرَ لَهُ. Allah showed this man kindness. Allah showed gratitude to this man for what he had done. And then he forgave his sins. We mentioned yesterday that ulama will say, rahimahumullah, man kathurat zunubuhu fa'alayhi bisaqhi al-ma. Man kathurat zunubuhu fa'alayhi bisaqhi al-ma. Whoever has a lot of sin should go provide water to people. If a man was forgiven his sins for providing water to a dog, if you provide water to a human being, your sins will be forgiven. It's a common statement among the ulama. They would say, man kathurat zunubuhu fa'alayhi bisaqhi al-ma. Man kathurat zunubuhu fa'alayhi bisaqhi al-ma. Whoever has sins, his sins have become multiplied, and he wants to expiate for these sins. If he wants to do something for which Allah will forgive him his sins, عَلَيْهِ بِسَقْهِ الْمَا, such persons should take to providing water to people. Maybe there's a locality, people lack water. Dig a borehole. There is a masjid without water. Provide water in the masjid. There is a home, a big home. People don't have water to drink. Provide them water. There's a school. People need water. Provide them water. If you do this, it's a major means of gaining forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, Allah showed gratitude to that man and forgave him his sins. Qalu ya Rasulallah. The companions asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa inna lana fil baha'imi ajra, wa inna lana fil baha'imi ajra. Are we still going to be rewarded when we are kind towards baha'im, the animals, the lower animals? The Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fi kulli dhati kabidin ratbatin ajrun. Every animal with a wet, fresh liver if you are kind to it, laka ajrun, you have your reward, tremendous rewards. So this makes us understand that our deen Islam encourages us to be kind to animals. Islam encourages us to be kind to animals, especially animals that we domesticate. Animals that we domesticate, cats, donkeys, horses, camels, sheep, goats, rams. Be kind to them for the sake of Allah. Even when we buy them during celebrations, such as when we have a child, we want to make akika, or when at the time of the ayad, we want to make Eid. Be kind, because if you are kind to them, rahimakallah, if you show them kindness and compassion, Allah will show you compassion. In continuation of the narrations under this chapter about that will come under Hadith 379. Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, haddathana Ismail, qala haddathani Malik an-Nafi' an Abdullah ibn Umar, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam qala, udzibat imra'atun fi hirratin habasatha hatta matat ju'a, udzibat imra'atun fi hirratin habasatha حتى ماتت جوعا فدخلت فيها النار يقال والله أعلم لا أنت أطعمت فيها ولا سكي فيها حين حبستيها ولا أنت أرسلتيها فأكلت من فشاش الأرض. الإمام البخاري رحمه الله reports this hadith from his Shaykh Ismail. And as we have repeatedly mentioned, as we said in the previous class, that was Al-Imam Ismail ibn Abi Uwais, one of the scholars of Medina. And Ismail ibn Abi Uwais, he is the son of the sister of Al-Imam Malik. He is a nephew to Al-Imam Malik from the sister of Al-Imam Malik, meaning that the Imam Malik, rahimahullah, is the maternal uncle of Ismail ibn Abi Uwais. This hadith, Ismail is reporting it from his uncle, Malik ibn Anas, rahimahullah, and he is reporting from Nafir, one of the biggest teachers of Al-Imam Malik, rahimahullah, was Nafir Mawla ibn Umar. Nafir was the free slave of Abdullah ibn Umar. He was in the companionship of Abdullah ibn Umar for over 15 years. Nafir was in the companionship of Abdullah ibn Umar for over 15 years. And he was known to have learned a lot from Abdullah ibn Umar, who was a companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdullah ibn Umar said, أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال عبد الله بن عمر said that the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم said عذبت امرأة في هرة حبستها حتى ماتت جوعا عذبت امرأة في هرة a woman عذبت was punished why was she punished في a rotten she was punished because of a cat hira habasata she had imprisoned she had tied down that cat in the report of this hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari it said rabatatha fahabasatha she had tied down the cat She had prevented that cat from movement. Robert taught her. She did that. Hatta matat ju'a. She left that cat tied down. Hatta matat ju'a. Right, out of hunger. Uzibat imra'atun fi hiratin حبستها حتى ماتت جوعا. A woman was punished by Allah regarding a cat that she had tied down. She tied it down for so long that ماتت جوعا. The cat died out of hunger. فدخلت النار. فدخلت فيها النار. Because of that, يعني بسببها دخلت النار. Because of that, this woman was punished in the fire. This makes us understand that it's a very, very big sin in Islam to punish animals. What she has done was to tie down the cat, preventing the cat from moving around. She was not providing it food. Neither was she providing it its drink. Nor did she allow that cat to move around, to drink what it can find and eat what it can find. Habasatha hatta matat ju'a. Instead of that, she kept that cat tied down. She tied down the cat until that cat died out of hunger. And for that, she was punished in the fire. How about those people in our own times who place cats on top of the fire in pots? They cover the cat, place a huge stone over the cat, and burn that cat to death. They burn the cat. The cat will die of severe heat while on the fire. These people are Muslims. These people who do these things, they are those Afar Jalabi, they are available. Afar Jalabis, these are things that they do. In the north, they are referred to as Mala Mimbuka. If you find an Afar upon Jalabi, you should know that these are his jobs. They punish animals to death. And it is from the way of the people that Allah will punish in the fire. In this hadith, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, عُذِّبَتْ امْرَأَةٌ فِي هِرَّةٍ حَبَسَتْهَا حَتَّى مَاتَتْ. This woman did not directly kill the cat by beating the cat to death or burning the cat to death. She only tied it down, preventing it from moving around to find food and find drink. Yet, she is punished in the fire. How about those who beat cats to death? Some people wickedly put cats in sacks. They tie the sacks and they begin to carry that sack and hit the sack on the ground until that cat inside the cat will struggle and die. These are wicked persons. The Prophet told us that لا تنزع الرحمة إلا من شقي. لا تنزع الرحمة إلا من شقي. Mercy would not be removed from the mind of any person except a person who is wretched. So from the symbols of the wretchedness of these people is how wickedly, without mercy, they kill these animals. They kill these animals wickedly. This woman only tied down the cat, عُذِّبَتْ بِالنَّارِ. And because she tied down the cat, she was punished in the fire. You call, it will be said to her, وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمْ. And Allah knows best. Prophet said, صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, لَا أَنْتِ أَطْعَمْتِيهَا. You, this woman, you did not provide meals, food for this animal. وَلَا سَقِيْتِهَا. Likewise, you did not provide the drink for this animal. حِينَ حَبَسْتِهَا. حِينَ حَبَسْتِهَا. When you tied down this animal, you did not provide it طعام. You did not provide it أَسَقْ. أو شَرَب. You did not provide the animal anything to eat. Neither did you provide the animal anything to drink. وَلَا أَنْتِ أَرْسَلْتِيهَا. You did not also even allow it to move around. He did not let it go freely. فَأَكَلَتْ مِنْ خَشَاشِ الْأَرْضِ so that she could eat from خَشَاشُ الْأَرْضِ. خَشَاشُ الْأَرْضِ are things that are just here and there on the earth that an animal will find here and there and eat and live upon. The woman tied down that cat until the cat died. فَأُغْزِبَتْ فِيهَا and because of the cat, she was punished. فدخلت النار. She entered the fire because she was punished over her own punishment of the cat. The ulama say this is evidence that it is a major sin to kill a cat. It is a major sin to kill a cat. Al-Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah, he said, وَفِي الْحَدِيثِ دَلِيلٌ لِتَحْرِيمِ قَتْلِ الْهِرَّةِ الإمام النووي رحمه الله said وفي الحديث دليل على تحريم قتل الهرة. This is evidence that it is prohibited to kill a cat. وتحريم حبسها بغير طعام أو شراب. It is also prohibited to وتحريم حبسها. This is evidence that it is also prohibited to restrict a cat, to imprison a cat, to tie down a cat, بِغَيْرِ طَعَامٍ without providing it food or sharab or providing it a drink. If you have to keep the cat somewhere, then you have to provide it what it will eat. You have to provide it what it will drink. He said further, رحمه وَفِيهِ وُجُوبُ نَفَقَتِ وفيه وجوب نفقة الحيوان على مالكه. This hadith is also evidence that نفقة الحيوان على مالكه واجب, that it is compulsory for anyone who owns or keeps an animal. It is compulsory upon them to spend over those animals. If you keep an animal, if you keep a dog, for security or for hunting, if you keep a cat as a pet, if you keep a horse as a pet, if you keep a goat, if you keep a sheep, if you keep a ram, if you keep a cattle, and all what we keep, donkeys, يجب عليك النفقة عليها, it becomes compulsory on you to spend to maintain that animal by providing it its food, its drink, and medical attention when it falls sick. If a person falls to do that, it's a major sin. And don't forget that one of the ways we know kabair, or kabira min al kabair, one of the ways we know the major sins is that it will have a tahdeed, it will have a warning regarding the fire. Fire will be mentioned regarding them. And we know that in this hadith we have just read, this woman was punished by دَخَلَتْ فِيهَا النَّارِ because she punished the cat to death. دَخَلَتْ النَّارِ, this woman was entered into the fire. So it's a major sin to punish animals. It's a major sin to punish animals. We beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all. In the next hadith, hadith 380, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, haddathana Muhammad ibn Uqbah, qala haddathana Muhammad ibn Uthman al-Qurashi, qala haddathana Hariz, qala haddathana Hibban ibn Zayd al-Shar'adi, haddathana حبان بن زيد الشرعبي عن عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص عن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال ارحموا ترحموا ارحموا ترحموا واغفروا يغفر الله لكم ويل لأقماع القول ويل للمصرين الذين يصرون على ما فعلوا وهم يعلمون. ارحموا ترحموا واغفروا يغفر الله لكم. ويل لأقمع القول، ويل للمصرين الذين يصرون على ما فعلوا وهم يعلمون. الإمام البخاري reports hadith 380 from his Shaykh Muhammad ibn Uqba, and that is Muhammad ibn Uqba al-Basri rahimahullah. He said حدثنا محمد بن عثمان القرشي. محمد بن عثمان القرشي, the Shaykh of Muhammad ibn Uqba, said حدثنا حريز. And حريز, he is حريز ابن عثمان ابن جبير. حريز ابن عثمان ابن جبير أبو عون. He said حدثنا حبان ابن زيد الشرعبي. حبان ابن زيد الشرعبي رحمه الله is the tabi'i of this hadith. And he is reporting from Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As is the companion who reported this hadith. رضي الله عنهما. He, Abdullah, was a companion. His father, Amr ibn al-As, was also a companion. So we say, رضي الله عنهما. May Allah be pleased with them both. So Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As said, reporting from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, who said, irhamu turhamu, irhamu turhamu, irhamu, show mercy to the people, be merciful to the people, turhamu, you all too will receive mercy, show mercy, O people, show kindness, be kind to others, turhamu, you will receive kindness too. All of you should show mercy. All of you will receive mercy. So when the people find difficulty, one of the reasons perhaps is that they themselves are not merciful towards themselves. So we should show mercy to people. Irhamu turhamu. Show mercy to others. You shall receive mercy. Now, irhamu turhamu is the point of reference from this hadith. It did not mention who should we show mercy to. This means that show mercy to everything, including yourself. Irhamu, show mercy. It didn't say to who. It leaves it open. So it means one of what we should take as a character is that we are merciful to ourselves, we are merciful to our wives, we are merciful to our children, we are merciful to our dependents, we are merciful to our students, we are merciful to our friends, we are merciful to our neighbors, we are merciful to the animals, dogs, if you keep a hunting or a security dog, cats, sheep, goats, donkeys, cows, all of these that we keep. Irhamu, show mercy to them. Turhamu, Allah will show you mercy. You will receive mercy if you are merciful. Irhamu, turhamu, the government should show mercy to the people. The people also should show mercy towards themselves and towards their government. The police should show mercy towards the people. The people should show mercy towards the police. Like that, irhamu turhamu. Everyone should show mercy to others. Turhamu, he will receive mercy too. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, waghfiru yaghfirullahu lakum. Waghfiru, forgive people. Forgive others. Tajawaz an istaatinas. Overlook the wrongdoings of the people. يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Allah will forgive you your sins. When you overlook, you get overlook. When you pardon, you gain pardon. So for the sake of Allah, واغفروا شو forgiveness يغفر الله لكم Allah will forgive you too. Then the Prophet said صلى الله عليه وسلم ويل لأقماء القول ويل للمصرين الذين يصرون على ما فعلوا وهم يعلمون ويل لأقماء القول أقماء is a word, a plural for the word كِمَعٌ أَقْمَعٌ has a singular that is called كِمَعٌ. The كِمَعٌ is what? A funnel. A funnel. If you want to fetch water into a jerry can, you see, you are going to employ a funnel. If you want to pour something into, like when vehicle engineers, when they want to service a vehicle, they want to pour the oil into it, they employ a funnel. So you pour it in large quantities and then it escapes from beneath it. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam referred to some people as people that speeches, words, advices to them are funnels. How? Their ears are open here and exposed here. If you say something to them, they only hear it. They don't take nor retain anything from what you say. These people are referred to as akmarul qawl, because the words to them will only be like funnels. It will go inside and go out. They don't retain anything to ponder about. They don't retain anything to act upon. So the way you say something to them, the same way it goes and leaves their hearing, it leaves their mind. They don't retain anything to take lessons from. These kinds of people are called akmarul qawl. And that's why when Allah praised the people of Iman in the Quran, He said, Allazina yastami'una al-qawla fayattabi'una ahsana. They are those who, when they listen to a statement, a sermon, an advice, fayattabi'una ahsana, they follow the best of it. They cannot follow the best of it if they have not retained anything. But the one who is akmarul qawl, his mind and hearing does not retain anything. The way he heard what was said to him, that is the way he forgets what was said to him. So he becomes like someone who never heard anything. These kinds of people, may Allah protect us, they are referred to as akmarul qawl. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, woe betide them, because when they hear a sermon, when they hear statements about tawheed, when they hear statements about salah, they do not gain anything from them. Then he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, wailun lil musirin, woe betide al musirun. Al musirun are those who continue upon a sin. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went on to explain who musirun are. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, alladhina yusirun ala ma fa'alu wa hum ya'lamun. They make israr, they continue upon a sin. Someone cheats people and he knows that cheating is haram, yet he continues. He continues upon it. He makes al-israr upon that sin. Someone knows that a lie is bad, and he still continues upon lying. Someone knows that feeding upon riba is haram. Riba is interest. He still goes, he trades in it, he transacts in it, even when he knows that it is haram. There is a common practice that is common to this. Some people say backbiting is haram, and backbiting is truly haram. When they want to backbite, they will now say, Astaghfirullah, 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 three times, then they backbite. Sometimes when they want to tell a lie, they say Astaghfirullah, even before telling the lie. The Prophet said, Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Wailun lil musirin. The curse of Allah be upon those who progress, they proceed upon a sin. الذين يصرون على ما فعلوا. They continue upon a particular sin, وهم يعلمون. That time they continue upon the sin. In that condition they are sinning. They know that what they are doing is haram. They know that what they are doing is prohibited. It is something that they can leave aside, yet they continue upon it. The Prophet said negatively about these people, الَّذِينَ يُصِرُّونَ عَلَى مَا فَعْلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. This is the difference between the people of taqwa, fear of Allah, and those who don't fear Allah. Those who fear Allah, وَلَمْ يُصِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعْلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. Allah described them in Al Imran, in Surah 2, Al Imran. Allah says, وَلَمْ يُصِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعْلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. They will not continue upon sins they commit while they know, knowingly committing a sin, they will not do that. These are the people of taqwa. As for the people of fisk, يُصِرُّونَ عَلَى مَا فَعْلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. They continue upon the sins that they commit, despite the fact that they know that these things are sins. So it is wrong. Please, for the sake of Allah, don't deliberately commit a sin and continue upon it. If you forgot and you are upon a sin, once you remember, go away from it. Stop it. Once you remember, stop it. If you did not know, once you learn it and know that something is wrong, then stop it. This is the part of honor. This is from the aspect of showing respect for Allah, who has prohibited you from that thing. Why should you continue upon something that is bad, despite knowing that that thing is bad? The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, وَيْلٌ لِلْمُصِرِّينَ. The curse of Allah be upon those who continue upon a sin. الَّذِينَ يُسْتِرُّونَ عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. Those who continue upon particular sins, وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. At that time, they continue upon the sin. They are aware that what they are doing is bad. For the sake of Allah, every one of us, everybody, once you remember, if it was about forgetfulness, once you learn, if it was about ignorance that led you to something bad, please move away. And that's why the first condition of tawbah is al-ikla'u al-jamf, moving away from that sin, so stopping it. If you have a boyfriend, you keep a boyfriend for yourself. Islam prohibits it. Stop it now. Don't postpone it till tomorrow. Stop it now. Don't be akma ul qawl, like the Prophet said. Those who will hear something from the right ears and it will go out of the left ear. Stop it now, 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 stop it now. If you keep a girlfriend, stop it. If you engage in riba, stop it. If you don't wear hijab, stop it. Start wearing hijab. Stop it. Stop it now. Because Allah does not like it. And then there are other sins people commit, maybe out of forgetfulness, maybe things like backbiting easily. When two people discuss, if they are not careful, their discussion would snowball into a backbiting. Stop it. Once you realize, we are already backbiting, stop it. So that you don't come under this statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, either by becoming akma'ul qawl, a man who has a funnel mind. What is it called, a funnel mind? The mind that hears something and does not retain anything as he heard it. That is how he will forgive it. He will forget it. The way he heard it, the same way he becomes oblivious of it. Don't be like that. Don't also be al-musir, a person who will continue upon sin, وَهُوَ يَعْلَمُ, while he knows that what he is doing is sin. The point of reference in Hadith 380 is the first statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that irhamu turhamu, show mercy to animals, you will receive mercy. I think from the time that we have left, we can quickly read the last hadith under this chapter heading, hadith 381. In it, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, Rahimahullah, حدثنا محمود قال حدثنا يزيد قال أخبرنا الوليد بن جميل الكندي عن القاسم بن عبد الرحمن عن أبي أمامة قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم من رحم ولو ذبيحة رحمه الله يوم القيامة من رحم ولو ذبيحة رحمه الله يوم القيامة. Imam al-Bukhari reports hadith 381 from his Shaykh Mahmud, that is Al-Imam Mahmud ibn Ghailan, a well-known scholar of hadith from the teachers of the likes of even Al-Imam Ahmad. Mahmud ibn Ghailan, he said, حدثنا يزيد ibn Harun. This Yazid, he is Yazid ibn Harun Abu Khalid al-Wasiti. Yazid ibn Harun Abu Khalid al-Wasiti. He was from amongst the earliest scholars of Islam, who was referred to as Shaykh al-Islam. He was elderly, he lived upon the Sunnah, he lived upon knowledge, learning and teaching Islam till he became very old. The scholars refer to him as Shaykh al-Islam. He is Abu Khalid al-Wasiti, Yazid ibn Harun, Abu Khalid al-Wasiti, rahimahullah. He is reporting from his Shaykh, Al-Walid ibn Jamil al-Kindi. Al-Walid ibn Jamil al-Kindi, Abu al-Hajjaj. Al-Walid ibn Jamil al-Kindi, his kunya was Abu al-Hajjaj. Anil Qasim ibn Abd al-Rahman, and Abi Umama. Al-Qasim ibn Abd al-Rahman is the tabi'i of this hadith. He is reporting from Abu Umama al-Bahili, radiyallahu anhu, who said, Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, Man rahima, whoever shows kindness, man rahima. It's a conditional statement. Man rahima, whoever becomes kind, whoever shows compassion, whoever directs kindness and mercy, walau zabihatan, even if that kindness that you are showing, it is towards an animal that you are slaughtering. Whoever shows kindness, even if it be to an animal that he is slaughtering, rahimahullah yawm al-qiyam, Allah will show kindness and mercy to him. Allah will be merciful to him on the Day of Judgment. Man rahima walau dhabihatan, whoever shows kindness, even if it be to an animal that he is slaughtering, rahimahullah yawm al-qiyam, Allah the Mighty subhanahu wa ta'ala, rahimahu yawm al-qiyam, Allah will show him mercy on the Day of Qiyamah. Don't forget, we have repeatedly said in our religion, Al-Jaza'u min jinsil amal. The rewards come from the like of the deeds that you perform. So if you are merciful, Allah will show you mercy. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Man rahima walau zabihatan, rahimahullahu yawm al-qiyamah. Whoever shows mercy, even if it be to an animal that is slaughtering. How do we show mercy to an animal that we are slaughtering? We can do that in about three or four ways. The first thing is, make your blade to be sharp, as the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, sharpen your knife if you want to slaughter an animal, a chicken, a goat, a ram, and so on. From the ways of showing mercy to it is to sharpen the animal, the blade. From the ways of showing mercy to the animal is lay it down properly. lay it down properly. Don't lay it down wickedly. Lay it down properly and hold it down properly. And then from the aspects of showing mercy to it is, target the place you slaughter properly and slaughter it properly. Once, at once. Slaughter it properly at once. So that the pain comes all at once and it goes. Instead of it suffering the pain because of the knife that's not sharpened over the time, you squeeze it and squeeze it and squeeze it, it begins to feel the pain and pain and pain. For the sake of Allah, this is not good. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man rahima walau zabihatan, rahimahullahu yawm al-qiyamah. Whoever shows kindness, walau zabihatan, even if it be to an animal that is slaughtering, rahimahullahu yawm al-qiyamah, Allah will show him mercy on the day of qiyamah. This chapter is about showing mercy to animals. So you will understand that our religion encourages, in fact, commands us, because it's an act of sin to punish animals. We have seen the woman who punished a cat and became from the people of the fire. She'll be punished in the fire. Yes, she'll be removed from the fire, because as Muslims, if a Muslim is punished in the fire over a sin for some time, Allah will forgive him or her and remove that person from the fire. This is the difference between the people of Iman and the people of Kufr. If a person of Iman has to be punished in the fire, there is still reward for Iman. The reward for Iman is Al-Jannah. They will be brought out of the fire as at the time Allah wills. But as for the people of Kufr, there is no coming out of the fire. They will remain in the fire. Khalidina fiha abada. Ulaika hum sharrul bariyah. Kuffar, non-Muslims, when they die, they do not accept Islam. They will burn in the fire forever. Allah referred to them as sharrul bariyah, the worst of the living things that can walk on the earth. They are those who baddalu ni'matallahi kufra. They, instead of showing gratitude to Allah and accepting Islam and obeying Allah, baddaluha kufra. That mercy that Allah provided them, the mercy of life, the mercy of sound health, the mercy of intelligence, the mercy of even choosing, they change all of these and chose to disbelieve in Allah. They will be in Jahannam forever. There is no respite. But as for the people of Iman, even if they may be sinful and not forgiving, the time they will spend in the fire is known to Allah. In the end of it, Allah will remove them and grant them relief. Allah will remove them and grant them relief. And subsequently, they will be admitted into Al-Jannah. So you can see, if punishing animals can lead somebody to the fire, it means that that deen does not take it lightly that people punish animals. And you can see a man was forgiven because he brought relief to a dog. That man brought relief to a dog. He gained forgiveness. The other woman gave punishment to a cat. She gained a punishment. So it makes us understand that being kind to animals is compulsory in Islam, because when you do it, you gain rewards. And when you don't do it, you may be punished by Allah. That woman was punished with the fire. So for the sake of Allah, it's a major sin to punish animals or behave wickedly towards them. All of us should stop it. We should encourage people to stop it as part of Islam. We are not talking about humanity or humanism. This is Islam. You are not doing it because of humanity or humanism. No, you are doing it because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded that in his earth, in his world, and he is the owner of everything. This is how we should handle ourselves And this is how we should relate with ourselves and the lower animals. It should be about mercy. The Prophet said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Irhamu Turhamu. This is the lesson that I want us all to take. Irhamu Turhamu. Be kind to others. You shall receive kindness. May Allah make it easy for us to show kindness. And may Allah forgive us and make us from those who receive kindness. Abu Amir, can we go on to our questions today?
نعم شيخنا أحسن الله إليكم.
آمين وإياكم.
Now the first question here is, Assalamu alaikum. As a woman without a child, can I just give myself a kunya like Ummu Salama or Ummuddin, mother of the religion? Also, is Ummul Mu'mineen reserved for only our mothers? Can I give myself the kunya? I want the kunya because I hear that you become what people call you.
The first question is, can someone have a kunya even without a child? Yes. Aisha radiallahu anha, our mother. She was Ummu Abdillah. Aisha, our mother radiallahu anha, she was Ummu Abdillah. Her kunya was necessarily not Ummul Mu'mineen, even though she used to be called, it was a tag. That's more of a laqab, more of a nickname. Ummul Mu'mineen is more of a tag, it's more of a title. So avoid it. The kunya of Aisha radiallahu anha was Ummu Abdillah. And she took that kunya from Abdullah ibn Zubayr, the son of Asma'u bintu Abi Bakrin, her own sister. So you can take a kunya even if you don't have a child as a woman. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave a kunya to the younger brother of Anas ibn Malik. That boy was a very, very little young boy. And he used to be called Abu Umair. Abu Umair. So whether a man or woman who has no child yet, or a boy or a girl who has not even grown up enough to have a child or even marry, little young boys, it is from the Sunnah of Islam that they have kunyas, like Abu Umair, who was a very, very little young boy. Like Aisha, our mother, she was young, radiallahu anha, yet her kunya was Ummu Abdillah. So it is lawful to take kunyas. Now, don't take Ummu al-Mu'mineen, because that's the title for the wives of the Prophet, as Allah told us in the Quran. An-Nabiyyu awla bil-Mu'mineen min anfusihim wa azwajuhu ummahatuhum. The wives of the Prophet, radiallahu anhunna, they are our mothers. So for the sake of Allah, avoid it. Avoid Ummul Mu'mineen, so that you do not bring confusion. People start asking you, are you a wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So, but you can take others. You can take Ummu Abdillah, Ummu Abdurrahman, Ummu Anas, and so on and so forth, from the various kunas that are available amongst the Muslims. Is this clear, Abu Amir?
Naam, Shaykhana, jazakum al khair.
Amin.
The next question here is about, is it permissible to poison rats and also or set traps or rat gums for them? And is it also permissible to punish them by blocking their holes with clothes so that they die in their holes?
If animals are dangerous to us, like rodents, like mosquitoes, like even other bigger animals, it is lawful for us to do that because they bring harm to us. For example, rodents take over the home. And today, it is one of the major means of some diseases that are very, very dangerous to human existence. So don't allow them come into your house. When they find their way into your house, you must look for a way of chasing them out or killing them and throwing them out of the house. Why? So that you protect yourself, because it is clear to us that they are dangerous to us. They eat up wood, they eat up books, they eat up everything they can find. So for the sake of Allah, they even bring diseases from outside into the house. So keep rodents out. Don't say you are showing mercy to rodents because they are dangerous to you. The same thing applies to mosquitoes. You don't have to bring mosquitoes and breed them in your room because you want to show mercy to mosquitoes. You don't have to do that. So these animals that are dangerous to us, or pests or rodents, we should keep away from them, avoid them. When they come, do away with them by way of protecting yourself. One basic rule in our religion is that la darara wa la dirara. Don't cause harm to people. Don't bring harm to people. Don't also allow the people to bring harm to you. So if these rodents and pests will bring harm to you, put away their harm, even if it means putting away they themselves. So in this circumstance, traps in homes, gums, and all of that in homes will be a means of putting away the harm of these rodents or the pests. I hope that this is clear, Muhammad.
I'm Sheikhana, Jazakumullah khair.
Ameen.
This question reads, Assalamu alaikum. Would a woman's salah be invalid if she does not use the full jilbab? She just puts on clothes that cover her body with a knee-length hijab and socks. Jazakumullah khair.
Well, the basic condition for a woman's salah to be accepted is that everything on her body is covered except her face, the oval of the face, and her palms. Women, don't waste your salah. It's a condition. It's just like wudu. Wudu is from the shurut, from the conditions of salah. The conditions of salah are those things that you must do them before you start salah. If you don't do them, that salah you want to start is invalid. One of them is al-wudu. If you don't have wudu, you can't observe salah. Salah, salah, taliman, la wudu alahu. There is no salah for the one who has no wudu. Likewise, the dressing. Satrul awra is a condition. A woman must cover the entirety of her body except her face and her palms. Sometimes you find women, Yoruba women, or women from other tribes, they tie a wrapper to their knees. From the knees to the rest of the feet is exposed. The salat is invalid. If we want to hear the truth, stop it. You are invalidating your salat. You can't come into a university without mathematics and English. Why do you want to come to salat without fulfilling the condition that Allah has stipulated for salah? So don't come to salah and thinking that Allah will accept it like that. So for the sake of Allah, stop it. Don't dress in salah, except that you have covered everything on your body, except your face and your palms. Except your face and your palms. Cover everything. Don't leave anything exposed if you want to observe salah, except your face and your palms. Let me also address young girls in universities. You wear jeans to pray. You tie a headscarf on your head. Don't waste your salah. If a woman is wearing jeans in salah, she's wasting her time, because jeans will cover your skin, but it will not cover the shape of your body. Jeans, a woman wearing jeans and observing salat with jeans exposed like that. Not that perhaps you have a jeans under and a gown to cover it. Just a jeans under like that, wearing that jeans to salat, you are wasting your salat. If you have not found someone to tell you the truth, I think one thing you will benefit today is that I will tell you that you are wasting your time. Don't do that again. One of the conditions of covering your aura is that both the shape and the color must be covered. Your jeans will cover your color. It will not cover your shape. Don't bring that your shape to Salah. It will not be accepted. Cover both the shape and the color of your skin. Cover the color of your skin and the shape. So don't wear something that defines your shape and bring it to Salah. The Salat is invalid. If you care to know, the Salat is invalid because some people are observing Salah as if they are doing Allah a favor. Don't observe Salah. You are not doing Allah any favor. You are doing yourself favors. If you obey Allah, you are doing yourself the favor. Because it is not because of your Salah that the heavens will stay. So observe Salah correctly. Favor yourself. Do it well. And get rewarded by your Lord who has created you and has a command over you. He commands you to observe the Salah. So respect him and come in his presence in Salah as he wants. Don't come in the presence of Allah in Salah as you want. Come as he wants. Don't come to Salah with a jinx. Some people have a flair. They always say, you are not even happy that we are praying. If I want to be happy that you are praying, you should pray correctly. Should I be happy that you are praying and you are praying incorrectly? I think we should think appropriately and not be arrogant towards Allah. Remove your arrogance. Stop it. Stop wearing jeans to Salah. Cover it all up. The woman should cover everything in her except her face and her palms when she observes Salah. I beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our Salah and forgive all our previous shortcomings. Naam Abu Amir. The question here from yesterday, one of our mothers sent to us a question. And I think she did a snap on the phone and sent it. It says that I have a sister that has been separated from the husband for 7 years. The sister now wants a divorce from the husband, and he asks the man. The husband is refusing to grant her the divorce. What step should she take as she doesn't want the marriage again? The step to take is to go to the law court, the Sharia court. In Lagos, I think they have one. In Ibadan, there is one. In Osun, there is one. All over. If you go, the court will invite him. If he refuses to come, the court will take steps. And after further refusals for him to come, the court will separate you from him and give you the documents to prove that you have been separated from him. And then you can remarry at that time. So the next step she needs to take is to approach a court or approach a Sharia council in the various states, as we mentioned. If you are in the north, it is everywhere from Abuja and Kwara above up. You will find Sharia courts. Approach a Sharia court, give the complaint. They will contact him and they will follow the due process. The court will set you free, inshallah. Do we have one more question from you, Abu Amir?
Naam, Shaykhana. Jazakumullah khair.
Ameen.
The questioner asks, regarding the first hadith, they said the woman entered the fire. Does that mean some people are in Jahannam right now?
Well, they are in their graves, but the punishment from the fire will reach them. They are in their graves. But the punishment from the fire will reach them. They are in their graves. The same thing may be said regarding Al-Jannah. They are in their places, but the punishment from the fire will reach them. If it is from the people of Al-Jannah, the joy and the entrance, the enjoyment of Al-Jannah will reach them from their graves. Is it clear, Abu Amir?
Naam, Shaykhana. Salawat wa alaykum.
Bin Wayyar. Can we stop that today?
Naam, Jazakumullah khair, Shaykhana.
Ameen wa antum fa jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.